Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointsTC.
The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.
Brought to you by Standard Life. Retirement specialists getting you ready for your second life.
I'm joined by one of the most notable and influential comedians in the UK, both in terms of the sort of persona that he has created and the impact that's had on a style of comedy, but also because he is responsible for the successes and the early publicity of a whole load of up-and-coming comedians because his production company found a vehicle that gave them airtime that they otherwise wouldn't have had, while at the same time being hugely successful on his own back. Jack D, how are you?
I'm all right, thank you. How are you?
I'm very good. Jack, I was reading in advance about you coming on, about your own history and all the rest of it. And one of the things that I found fascinating was you're one of the few people whose entire success you can pinpoint when it began. I mean, a lot of people, it's incremental and there's little dribs and drabs. You effectively have a, there was one night that changed everything.
For me, it was the one night that I decided to try stand-up comedy. And I went down to the Comedy Store in Leicester Square in London for the first time ever in 1986. And it so happened it was an open mic night, and I didn't even know what that meant. But I liked the comedy that I was watching, and they explained that, you know, if you want to have a go, get on stage, come give us your name in the interval, and that's really what I did. I didn't know why I was being so reckless, really. But the moment I stood on the stage at the very end of the show to try out, I sort of knew I'd found something that I was meant to be doing. It was a very strong feeling, yeah.
Were you not terrified by it? Because a room full of people at the end of a gig, they're already tired, they're probably drunk, yeah. They've seen other comics that they enjoyed, you've never done it in your life before, you don't have any material. I can think of nothing more intimidating than
it's,
that.
It's a funny thing, because I sort of had nothing to lose, and in terms of the audience being drunk, I thought, well, the more drunk they are, the better, because they won't remember any of it, and they won't remember my face. And the more that left, the happier I was by the time I went on stage. To be honest, at that point, I wasn't. I just felt I'd walked into the Comedy Store and thought, this whole comedy scene has started without me. I should have been part of it, and so I wasn't terrified that first time. The second time, I think I was terrified, because when I came off, they said, I'll come back and we'll put you on again next week. And I thought, okay, how do I do this? You know, and then you start thinking about it, and it all becomes impossible. And then you go through that whole process of bombing everywhere you go, and it's all terrible. But I still felt the impulse to keep going.
And how did you then find your style and voice? Because you're unique on stage. I mean, there's sort of the irascible, grumpy Jack D that we know from your stand-up. I assume that's not the way you started, was it?
I think I probably over-tried. The very first time I did, I think that's why I got laughs, because I was just being myself. And then I moved away from that, overthinking it, thinking that I had to kind of bring some sort of jollity to the stage. It was a big mistake in my case. And I think I realized after a year or so of doing it, of trying that, I was okay at writing the material, but then I thought, when I'm on stage, I'm not getting laughs for the way I do the material. All that's getting laughs is the actual line itself. And for me, that's not enough. And I was going to give up. And because of that, the subsequent shows I did, I really didn't care. And of course, I went back on stage and behaved as if I didn't care how it went. And that's when I kind of refound the way I should be doing it for me. Yeah,
I always wonder if that is an additional challenge. Because, I mean, a man I know that you've interviewed recently on your podcast, Jason Byrne. If you look at the Jason is just so overwhelmingly energetic and animated that he forces you into being in a good mood, whether you're not. Without doing that, you have to be absolutely sure the jokes are going to land, don't you?
Well, you know, I think what the audience like is the authenticity of the person on stage, and they don't want to feel that something's being manufactured, or at least if it is, it's coming from a place of reality in that character. And if I were to try and do what Jason Byrne did, that I'd be booed off within minutes because I couldn't possibly create that type of energy. And quite possibly, if Jason did what I do, they'd be saying, "What the hell's wrong with Jason?"
I would dearly love to see Jason Byrne do his set as Jack D.
Maybe we should swap over. It'd be good fun to try it, wouldn't it?
The reason you were talking to Jason Byrne was you've managed to carve out a very unusual niche in the area of dog podcasting.
Yeah. Well, we have I do with Sean Walsh is my, he had the idea actually and rang me because he'd got a dog and he knew I had one. And he said, "Do you fancy doing a podcast about dogs?" And, you know, looking at the whole scene out there and thinking, well, there aren't enough podcasts out there. So let me see if I can, you know, help to remedy that. With Sarah, who is also on the show with us, we just created, it's called Oh My Dog, and it's all about dogs. And we interview people who've got dogs, either famous people or people involved in the world of dogs. And then we talk amongst ourselves about our dogs, and it's just fun. You know, it's great. And it's going up the charts in Chile, I've been told this morning. And you get these sort of breakdowns of where you are. I think we're number 8 in Latvia as well.
So. Wow, that's from small acorns to and so forth.
Totally. Yeah.
This raises the obvious question: what are you equipped with yourself?
What type of dog have I got?
Indeed,
I have a Chihuahua. Everyone's. I don't know why that should be funny. But we had a bigger dog who was bereft because his sister had died, and he was very lonely. He was a standard Dachshund, so it's quite a large dog actually. And we didn't want to get a puppy because that would have annoyed him because he's quite old. And we didn't want to get another Dachshund because he would have thought, "Oh, you're just trying to replace Darcy just now she's died." And so we got something completely different, which is Dolly, and we got it from a rescue site, and. Jane was just happened to be browsing for chihuahuas at desperatelyneedhomes.com. And there was this very lovable looking thing on the screen. And I having said I never wanted a chihuahua, she literally showed me the picture of this dog. And I said, okay, well, let's go and get it then. And that was that, you know. And it's been a love affair, I have to say. She's a real delight of a dog.
There is also a practical genius in this, which is the one thing that when people are talking about dog breeds and before they get a dog, they always, you know, is it going to be, what's the temperament like? Will it be good with kids? Yeah. Blah, blah, blah. They never talk about sheer volume of excrement.
Well, they often don't, no. And there's some dogs you can get, they'll just produce their own body weight twice a day. And it's quite difficult.
Whereas a Chihuahua,
without
genius.
Being indelicate about the subject, you know, with Chihuahuas, it's, you know, you've got a little smarty shaped thing a couple of times a day and that's it. It's, you know, you just kind of flick it into the hedge.
Of all of the people that you have talked to about there. Oh, by the way, can I give you a recommendation, Jack?
Oh, please. Yeah.
There is a book by a man called Stanley Coren called On the Intelligence of Dogs. And he is a dog behaviorist, but he has rated all of the dog breeds on the planet by how bright they are.
Uh-huh.
And he maintains that one of the mistakes that people make is that they buy smart dogs. And he says, if you get a bulldog, which is apparently one of the dumber ones, if you leave in the morning, it'll take it about 8 hours to figure out that you're gone. So it never gets lonely because you're back by the time that the penny has dropped. I think it's a very clever way.
I've not thought that's very cynical, but yeah, it's probably true. And the trouble with the smart dog is that, you know, they do know when you're getting ready to go. And you know, she'll be looking at you. She'll go, "Oh no, you're going out again, aren't you? You're leaving me, aren't you?" Just like my earlier owners did. And you think, you know, you want to explain to them you're going to be back, but they're sort of so aware of what you're up to. But maybe that's right. Get the less intelligent breeds.
That's
but
exactly.
I could be without a Chihuahua now. I've got one.
So who of the dog owners that you've dealt with had either the most interesting dog or was the most interesting individual about a dog?
Well, you mentioned Jason Byrne. He was very good. Jimmy Carr is a sort of unexpectedly devout dog owner, and we've obviously Jonathan Ross was on one of our earlier guests. He has a whole load of dogs. I mean, he's really got I think he's got three or four of them. All of them have brought something to the, and then you get people who do quirky things. I mean, Fiona Allen, who cooks for her dogs, she cooks their food, and you discover these things. People drop their mask a bit when they're talking about their dog. They're not talking about their work or anything, and you suddenly see this side of them you didn't expect.
Yeah, and you sort of get an insight particularly when you see them interact with. You get to see a bit of the raw truth of whether somebody is a decent skin or not by how they interact with the dog. I should have said at the outset, you're going to be touring Ireland. 20th October, you're in Belfast in the Grand Opera House. 21st of October in the Three Olympia in Dublin. You're then on the 23rd in the Galway Black Box Theatre. And then 24th, you're going to be in the Wexford Spiegel Tent Festival. Are you actually going to be in the Spiegel Tent itself? Do you know?
I hope so. I mean, I don't want to be doing it on the pavement outside. I mean, I've... I'm told I'm in the Spiegel Tent, and I think is it the same one that they have at Edinburgh? Do they just cart it around?
Well, I don't know. I can describe. I have been in the Wexford Spiegel Tent. So it is, I don't know, 30 feet across. There's lots of mirrors. It's kind of like somebody stripped down an old Victorian pub and put it inside a very nice marquee.
Yeah, that's right. I think that's the same one they bring to Edinburgh as well. So I have done this one before, but not in Wexford, and that's what's going to be fun about that. So
is it a good venue for comedy? Because I've heard comedians say there are certain rules, like you don't want a high ceiling because it makes all the laughs disappear.
Yeah.
How do tents rate?
This one is if it's the same one, it's very good because it's enclosed. The tents that really are difficult to play are like at festivals where they've got big open sides and people are just milling around and you've got, you know, music blasting in from one direction and some juggler getting all the attention outside or something. And, you know, it's difficult to have the intimacy that you'd want in a gig. But yeah, no, it's good. It should be good. Yeah.
Do you bring special Irish focused material for your overseas run?
Well, I tend to always reference where I am. Yes, absolutely. But this show is now, I've been doing it all year. So I've kind of got what I'm going to do in the show. But there's always spaces in it where I will reference where I am and what's going on, and something, you know, when topical stuff happens that I think is worthy of inclusion, then that goes in as well. Otherwise it just becomes a bit of a recital. So the trick when you're doing a long tour is to keep reinventing it for yourself every night.
I'm good news, which is I think you have sold additional tickets by virtue of your dog ownership. A text to say, Jack D and a Chihuahua, I am definitely in. That's this dog groomer's listening sorted for the day. Okay. That's another great advantage for Chihuahua. How much does it cost to get a Chihuahua groomed?
Well, she doesn't get groomed very much. We do the washing. We wash her ourselves and shampoo her ourselves. She's tiny anyway. Do it in the kitchen sink. But we get her nails clipped at the groomers and various things like that. But I think she's all dogs are expensive when things go wrong. But just as the day to day maintenance, it's fine.
Jack, there is something wonderful that will linger about the image of you washing a Chihuahua in the kitchen sink. I will enjoy this for the rest of the afternoon. It has been lovely talking to you, Jack D. He's going to be on tour in Ireland through 20th through 24th of October, from Belfast to Dublin to Galway and to Wexford at the Spiegel Tent.
The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18+ in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.